How many of you saw the movie Blindside? Remember that movie? It was a football movie. Michael Orr, Ole Miss, all of that stuff. There was a part of the movie where his family, I should say family, they had taken him in, this poor kid and everything, and they got to the point where they were going to adopt him, and they asked him, said, would you like to be a part of our family? He said, I thought I already was. The cool thing about what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about one of the most important core values of our church. It's number 4 over here, but it says we value developing strong families. We value. Anything you value is something that you put a lot of credit into, a lot of emphasis in. It's important. It rises to the top of the list. So we value building and developing strong families here in the church. And let me remind you that a core value is something that we really believe deep down inside. The thing I like about core values more than anything else is not only does it cast vision, not only does it help you decide what your mission in life is, but every now and then it kind of redirects you back to the important, to the most important thing that is part of why we're here in the first place. Listen, I don't say this in contrast to any church, but I do know this much. There's a lot of churches out there, they have great music, and maybe they have dynamic speakers or whatever. But God forbid that somebody comes into that church and spends time in that church and leaves that church and they never connect. They don't feel like they're a part of that church. That doesn't mean they have to be at every function, but there's something about that that just kind of glues them into the part of that. I went to Huffman Assembly, and when I got there, things were very different from the church I went to. Man, people prayed with their eyes open, their hands were up, the music was loud. Same song that we sang in the other church, but we sang it with the hymnal real slow. They sang it just real fast and loud. I mean, the whole choir was just on something, you know, it was crazy. And I noticed all these people were friendly. They were smiling a lot, and they liked each other, and a lot of hugging. I didn't like really hugging at that point. I didn't even hug my football friends, okay? I barely patted them on the rear end when they did something good. You know, it was just like that. I mean, I wanted my space. I wanted my distance. Don't get in my bubble. But, man, these people just sucked me in. I was there for 5 years. I told this story the other day to the Davis family. I said, I was there for 5 years of serving in the children's ministry. Big part of that. I thought I was a part of everything that was going on. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, that I wasn't working in children's church, I was down in front with the youth group. And the children's pastor said, Davis said, are you a member of the church? And I said, I don't think so. He said, well, we would like for you to be a member of the church. And I said, why? And he said, well, you work with our kids. Everybody kind of knows you around here. It'd be nice if one of the parents said, hey, what about that kid over there? Is he a member of the church? It'd be nice to say, yes, he is. He's kind of gone through that. You know, he's a part of the family. I thought, hey, I was like, you know, the Blindside story. I already thought of it was a part of the family. The cool thing, this isn't about membership today, so just relax. All right, relax. All right, all we want is your money. We don't care if you're a member or not. All right, let's just get that out there where it belongs. All right. But anyway, you know, developing strong families, there needs to be a place where you can go and you feel like you belong. That you really, this is home. This is home. And that's not easily done, is it? It doesn't matter where you go. That doesn't just happen because you make a statement from the pulpit. There's a lot of things that go in there. But we have this little byline underneath there. It says this, we will invest. Everybody knows what invest is, isn't it? You put your money, you invest it in something, you expect a return. We invest strongly in our youth and our children and in the health of marriages and in family relationships. And this concept isn't foreign from the Bible. Let's look at Paul for a second. He always thought of the believers as a family. In fact, his favorite term for describing the people he was dealing with was with brothers and sisters. Whenever you read that in the Bible, it's not just a formality. He really thought of these people as brothers and sisters. He wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and all through there he uses the word brother 60 times. He literally proclaims that those of us who claim Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are family. That we're family. That's important. Isn't it amazing to have a family? Aren't you glad you have a family? Some of you would like to get rid of the family you're in. You know, I mean, you know, you'd like a little bump in that family. I'll tell you something that I don't know if it's in my notes in here somewhere, but it's on my heart right now. It's amazing how that you can be closer to your spiritual family than you are your physical family. Now, listen, that's not a knock on your blood, okay? But I'm just telling you, sometimes there's something about the spiritual connection and the bond that Christ wanted us to have. Let me read out of the Living Bible, 1 Peter 3:8 says this, You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. That can be a little devotional Bible scripture, but boy, when you start applying that, it makes a difference in a lot of people's lives. You should be one big happy family. What does that mean? We're throwing a birthday party? No. It means that we're in here through the thick and thin. We're ready to rub elbows. We're ready to make a difference. I'm ready to get into your life circumstances and do what I can to help you, and hopefully you'll be there when I need you as well. That's why the church prays for each other. That's why we fellowship with each other and all these other things. Now, Galatians 6:10 says this, we are the family of believers. Hebrews 2, it says, we are of the same family. And 1 Peter 4, it says, we're the family of God. So let me share a couple of things with you that pretty much everybody either assumes or knows about the church, the family of God that God has created, the spiritual bond that we have with one another. Number one, everybody needs a place to belong. Everybody needs a place to belong. Nobody wants to be out there just hung out to dry. We don't have anybody to be with, nobody to go anywhere with. Now listen, there's times we want our space. We just want our own little private time. I understand that. You know, but there's times when we really need to have a place to belong, a place that fits you like your favorite jeans. Okay, sweatpants, all right? Everybody feels comfortable in sweatpants, but please do me a favor, no pajamas, all right? This isn't Walmart, this is the church, all right? So let's keep it in the correct perspective. But something that feels very comfortable, you just be yourself, something that's very welcoming. Where, like you says in our vision statement, you can come as you are and love like family. That's a goal, but it's also a purpose, and hopefully it's your reality. And if it's not, I hope it'll be your reality soon. We were made not to be isolated. We were never made to be alone. God made us to be a family, to be a part of each other. When you're alone and you just love being by yourself, there's a lot of things, I guarantee you, that are probably a part of that picture that if you could, you'd snap your fingers and say, I'd love to change this in a hurry. I've met a lot of people, they become hard and indifferent because they want to protect themselves. And I understand that. You know, sometimes the greatest wounds that we've experienced wasn't out there, because we expect to be hurt out there, don't you? I got to tell you, I get out there with all these people. I don't know who's behind the wheel, but when I have to pass them because for crying out loud, they're doing 25 in a 75 or whatever, I always look at them. I can't help myself. I'm going, they've got to be over 80. There has to be something wrong, and it's probably a woman. Hey, just testing the waters. Just testing the waters. I'm just kidding. I never assume it's a woman. Where was I? Yeah, I am now in trouble. We assume all these things. Hey, you know, we love our isolation. We love our aloneness. But the bottom line is, would you peel all those layers? Nobody wants to be alone. I'm going to tell you what. I've been in a lot of ICU waiting rooms, and you see that one person over there, they wish their church would show up. I've seen a lot of people in some really hard times in the emergency room. They're waiting for a diagnosis. They're waiting for something to where they can finally go back and see their loved one. They want to be anything but alone. And that's the way we are. That's the way we live. That's our everyday circumstances. It's not just when the emergency happens. It's not when the accident happens. It's not when problems. It's every day of our life. Nobody wants to be alone. And God never designed us to be that way anyway. Listen, Vance Packard said this. He said, America is a nation of strangers. And studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. Our American culture produces people who are more closely identified with the characters of a weekly TV series than with those of their next-door neighbors. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, for community, and a sense of family. And I would agree with that. You know, I don't knock this, but we have our ways of just kind of separating us, whether it's our garage doors or whether it's our privacy fences or whatever. We have created isolation, and it's only been enhanced. There I am back on what I said last week. It's only enhanced by our phones and the media and the things that just kind of get us shut down here instead of ever looking up out here. It's amazing how that works, and we become isolated, and we wonder why we're hurting. We wonder why we don't have a sense of community. We wonder why there's no one there to share this life with. And it's because most of the time we've done this to ourselves, and it's not by God's design, whatever. I remember I sold this years ago, and I'm sure I've repeated it by then, but there was the lady who went to the post office. She's standing in line, trying to mail a letter, you know, and she's going to buy some stamps. And finally, this gentleman behind her says, "Ma'am, you know you can go right over to this machine and buy those stamps." She goes, "Yeah, but that machine won't ask me about my arthritis." We need people to care about us. We need people that really, really care. My wife is a nurse practitioner. She deals with these people. This isn't the first discovery of cancer. Many of this is their second, third, and fourth time. This is where they're trying to have some real intervention. You know, and it's amazing. She said, you know, they come for information, but what they really want is somebody to care. This is where Debbie gets in trouble. She spends way too much time with them instead of working on those follow-up notes and all of this insurance stuff. And she gets behind and stuff like that. But it's the minister in her. It's the minister that she's been in her family. That's just the way it is. In Huffman Assembly, I went to hear a guy named Denny Duron. But I stayed because of the people. I heard him, but I stayed because of the people. The Bible uses a lot of metaphors for the church, and the most persistent is family. That he wants us to be a family. Maybe the words family and church are familiar to you, but some of you maybe not. Maybe you haven't grown up with this dynamic in your life. Maybe it's a foreign concept. Maybe you've never felt like you really belong. Maybe you've never known the blessing of being a part of something as big as the family of God. And I understand that. I don't know that it's really embraced out there, but isn't it amazing? We really don't hear that much about gangs anymore, but gangs didn't go away. But you know why kids are drawn to gangs? Because it gives them a sense of family. There's some people there. And whether it's not the best circumstance in the world by far, at least somebody is there, knows their name, talks about them, keeps up with them, and demands things out of them. It's amazing how that works. And it's amazing how much we need it. This is what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. This is the Living Bible. He said, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other one up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm all alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Let me share a couple of things about the dynamics of a church family. Listen, I'm not trying to sell you on anything. I'm just telling you, this is the dynamic that God created. This isn't my idea. We have a core value that says we value developing strong families, but I'm not trying to sell you on the core value. I'm trying to expose to you something that God has already put innate in our hearts. When we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only were we connected with him, but God gave us a connection with everybody else who shares his name as Lord and Savior. Listen, belonging to a church family provides strength. Strength. You become stronger when you become a church family. The New Century Version says this: two people are better than one because they can get more work done. None of us can do all alone what all of us can do together. Man, stop and think about that, guys. Whether it's giving to the Gideons, or whether it's work day around here, or whether it's reaching out to somebody that's in the hospital, whether it's something that you need in your life, only what we do together can even come close to meeting the need that you have individually. And that's the power of being together. There's strength in all of that. Belonging to a church family provides support. Don't you like somebody to pat you on the back? Don't you like somebody to say you're good, doing a good job? Don't you like it when there's something that you need, that there's people that you can turn to? Listen, I'm getting the cart in front of the horse a little bit, but God, I'm telling you, there's a dynamic happening in our women's ministry, in our men's ministry in this church right now. There are some powerful, powerful things that are happening. I drove by here Friday, and there was just a bunch of cars out here where these ladies meet on Friday and start dissecting the word. There is a vision that God is casting in our men's ministry that is going to be powerful over the next months and the years to come. I'm just very confident of that. And it's because people are deciding, you know, when we get together and support each other, it's amazing what God can do. Solomon put it this way: two are better than one, because if the one falls down, the other can help him up. If someone falls alone, what good is that? It's not good. It's bad at all. Bad, of course. But there is no one there to help him. That's the problem in all that. Listen, we all have troubles. We all have circumstances that happen, don't we? But Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But what did he follow that up with? He said this, take heart, I have overcome the world. Galatians 6 says this, help carry each other's burdens. In this way you will follow Christ's testimony. Help carry each other's burdens. Now, nobody goes out looking for burdens, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're in a family and a burden shows up, you don't even think about what it cost you. You don't even think about the time it's going to you have to spend. You don't even think about how it's going to interrupt your life, because you're so dedicated and so invested in this person that that's the last thing you start to think about. It's the last thing you start to think about. Everything else goes by the wayside. Listen, belong to the church. Church family provides a spiritual connection. I mean, that ought to be the no-brainer, but it's still true. You are a part of a family by three different means. You're a part of a family by blood. Debbie and I are in two separate families with the same dynamic. She has four brothers and a sister. I have four brothers and a sister. She's the baby of the family. And I'm in the middle of five boys. You know, but we have all these dynamics. You know what? Right now, she's lost a brother. I've lost two. She's got another brother that's, every time we see the area code for Colorado, we just assume the worst. But you know what? That's blood. And we're dedicated to that blood. But I got to tell you, when death comes to our church, it's pretty dynamic, pretty real. When things come to our church, this church family, it kind of knocks this pastor to the floor. Kind of just takes my knees out from underneath me. Because what? You know what? You're family. You're family. Listen, I try not to overdo this because I understand there's the creepy old man thing that you can't let happen, but I love it when I see our kids come down the hallways. And by the way, you know, we're working on a lot of things to really, really secure our children's wing. You'll be seeing some things about this in the future. We've got some men who have voluntarily kind of supervising our church because the church family's under assault from outside the church as well, isn't it? I mean, you know, listen, it's okay. It, you know, look strangely at people, and that's okay to question because some of them really deserve it. But anyway, if people come in, you know, we want to be protective and that type of thing. But, you know, every time I embrace these kids, I saw something the other day. It was Kelsey's little girls. They were coming down the hall. I went, there they are. And they come running up to give me a hug. I'm going, I'm not a creepy old man. Okay, I'm not one of those, you know. And I feel a little, but I'm going, how cool was that? It made my day. I don't know what they were all about, but it made my day. That's what happens in the family of God. When it comes to family, listen, we all have differences. We all have things that we have to deal with. You're involved in the family by blood, but then there's also relationship. Debbie and I have these two connections because we were not blood, but then we got married, and so now we have this relationship. But the coolest thing is when we're related, in fact, through the Spirit of God, something dynamic happens on that level. Our expressions and our experiences may vary, but the definition doesn't. Let me give you a loose definition of what I'm talking about. There is a bond, a spiritual family dynamic that only God can provide. Only God can place that in there. Only God can do that and enhance it to the point to where it really amazes you. Listen, we can trust no matter what in our personal view or experiences, but that definition will always stand. Well, let me wrap this up. Everybody deserves to be a part of a family. Everybody deserves to be a part of a family. And I'm sorry if your family wasn't the best. I'm sorry if you've had to go through maybe an early divorce, or maybe you lost a parent early in your life. Maybe you didn't have an extended family. I feel so fortunate because I grew up in a little town. My uncle was on one side of us. My aunt was on the other, had nephews. I had a nuclear family. That meant that all of our relatives were pretty much right there. We didn't move everywhere. And you know, and I had about seven or eight mothers. I mean, anywhere I went, I had to be on my guard because they had permission to spank me. I'm telling you, my dad, he would find out and say, well, did you spank him? Now we're recruiting this? We're looking for external help here? Golly, the coaches could just lay me out anytime they wanted to. It was amazing. I didn't have a chance to get in trouble. Oh. I was a very gifted child. I got in a lot of trouble. But there was always this sense of family that was really cool. And then I got involved in the church. Everybody deserves to have a good experience. Everybody deserves to have a good family. And I'm sorry if your experience wasn't the best, but I'm telling you, God still has reserved for you the best. I can promise you that. Kathy Keating, years ago, we were working in the youth department down in the the district department. This was even before I came to Claremore Assembly. And we were hosting her for our youth convention, and she told this story. She said she was at a national convention for teachers, and they had this Teacher of the Year in Illinois who was one of the speakers. And she said, you know, there I was working, and I'd been in this school for about 10 years. And then the principal came to me one day and said, we really need your help. And she said, what can I do? She said, well, we have this one class. It's the last class of the day. We have these kids, learning disability kids. He said, man, there's such a problem. I've had about 5 teachers in there. They gave up. They couldn't handle it. You're my last hope. And she said, okay, I'll try. So she goes in there. She said, it was chaos. These kids didn't want to learn. They didn't want to care. They were unruly, all kinds of problems, always discipline issues and that type of thing. And she said, I just about had it. So she goes, I did something that I really shouldn't have done, but I went to the office, and I snuck into the office, and I pulled all their files, and I started looking at their files. And I look over here, and these kids have incredible IQs. IQ 110, 112, 114, 117. She goes, that made me mad. These kids are smart. They're not dumb. They're smart. They don't have a learning disability. So I went in there the next day. I threw my book down. I said, no more. And she said, I started ruling the roost there. I started demanding things out of them. And she said, next thing you know, their grades started getting better and better and better. And the next thing you know, these kids were excellent. Instead of D's and F's, they were A's and B's, and every now and then a few C's in there. Incredible. Discipline was awesome. These kids started looking forward to going to class. She said, the principal came, got me by his side, and said, what did you do? And she goes, well, I know I shouldn't admit this, but, you know, I was fed up with their behavior. So I went, and I know it's against the rules, but I looked up their files. And I saw in their files, here they are, their IQs were just incredible. He said, show me what you're talking about. So he went in there, showed him the files. He goes, these aren't their IQs. These are their locker numbers. But isn't it cool? Somebody had a whole different perspective on these kids. She no longer saw them as learning deficient. She saw them as incredibly capable. She started pouring into life. She started caring. She started demanding. And this is what she did. She started leading. And listen, I'm going to ask you, I'm recruiting you right now in this church. Care a lot more. Lead a lot more. And do me a favor, set the example. Let's take the bar from here where our culture has had it, because you know what? It's getting worse out there by the minute. We got people that have no idea what a normal family is, so they come to the church and they bring all of that luggage and all of that baggage into the church, and now they're introduced to an incredibly loving God, but they don't know what to do with a loving God. They don't know what to do with grace and mercy and love and favor. All they know is disappointment and discouragement and failure. And God says, that will not be the bookmark of my family. I did not die and send my son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we can be mediocre. Instead, I want you to demand more out of yourselves and out of everybody else. That's a big assignment, isn't it? But listen, great kids and great youth and great marriages and strong families don't happen on accident. It has to be a purposeful act driven by the purpose of God in our own heart. So I'm going to ask you, for your own family, begin demanding more out of your family. Now, I'm not talking about you start restricting time and all this other stuff. You work with the dynamics of TV and the phones and all that stuff all on your own. But demand more out of yourself and out of your family. And let that be based on I care more. I care, but let's ratchet up a little bit. Where are you going to find care in the world? And that's what draws people to the cross and what draws people to the church, because for some reason they care a little bit more There's something about that care. It draws the unsaved to them because they don't know what to do with people who should not like them but love them. And let's begin to lead. Let's be the example. Let's break the standard and be the example. Amen? I'm going to ask you to stand. There's an old song of the church that we're going to sing. No reason to bring the musicians up. I would destroy every aspect of this. If we did, we'd need to have a piano and organ to really do this right. But the words are up here, and I'm going to ask you to sing this with me. A lot of you know it, but this is an old hymnal, and I pray that it'll kind of become maybe the theme for our church. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sun. I'm a part of the family of God. Hey, now listen, they didn't have a thesaurus when they wrote this song, so they have sod up there. That means ground and earth, because it rhymes with God, all right? I'm just bailing out somebody there. But I want you to sing it with me one more time, okay? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this. For I'm part of the family of God. Bow your heads with me. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. Say, Pastor Dave, pray for me. I wish I had that family. I wish that God would really be gracious to me. I want to belong. I want to make a difference. But today, I need a family. I need a family. It starts with God. I need God to just do something dynamic in my life. I feel so isolated. I feel alone. I feel just literally I've just been parked on the curb and I don't know where else to go. And I need God. You know, you may be married. You may be in the midst of a whole bunch of people that they share your last name, their blood. But you feel like you're just isolated from the most important family you could have. And that's the family of God. If that's you, you just raise your hand and put it right back down real quick. God cares desperately. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to pray about that. One last thing. Will you do me a favor and say, Pastor, I will do my best to embrace this message and indeed care more, demand more of myself and others, and lead. I will step out and lead. You need leaders. You need leaders. I'll do that. Will you raise your hand and put it right back down? All across this sanctuary. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the family. Thank you that we can come home. And it's not about a big cushy couch or a chair or a living room setting. It's about falling into the embracing arms of God the Father. We finally found our home. And starting right there, Lord, please help us know and find our family. This is a brotherhood. This is a sisterhood. This is the family of God. And I pray, Lord God, that we will just take this out off the charts in expression and in application. That we will truly, truly become the family of God. That you died on the cross. You died on the cross so the church could be that kind of family. Help us to do so starting right now. Starting right now, in the name of Jesus. Everybody help me say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I love you. Welcome to the family. You are dismissed.